Welcome to Cannabis Connection World Podcast, where cannabis connectors meet and discuss the gospel truth of cannabis, the plant connecting the planet.
Welcome to episode 11 of Cannabis Connection World. On this episode in cannabis class, we will learn more about a new research study that was published last month. The first domestic study done on HIV and cannabis, proving that along with antiretroviral treatment, heavy cannabis use also helps fight the virus in the body. Then you will hear the second half of my interview with Shira Adler. She explains in more detail why she decided to write the book and how she had to fight the system to keep her children once the government knew she was treating them with cannabis. And the Cannabis Connection calendar is back to let you know what's going on in our world. So sit back and relax as I serve you this cannabis content rolled up perfectly for your consumption.
Cannabis class.
So last episode, I shared with you my personal journey to becoming a cannabis advocate and journalist. I am thrilled to share with you this week that I found the first domestic research study regarding HIV and using cannabis to treat the disease. A group of doctors and scientists at University of Washington in Seattle published a medical research paper that proves cannabis use has a potentially beneficial reduction in systematic inflammation and immune activation in the context of antiretroviral treated HIV infection. The study was based on 198 individuals that used cannabis moderately to heavy, and the heavy cannabis users had better results than the moderate. The study was published in February this year, and I'm so excited to inform you that I will be speaking with the lead doctor on this case study this week to get more information for you about how this came to be and what this means for HIV treatment in the coming years. I already use cannabis to manage my pain from fibroids and any body pains as my kidneys try to heal. And I also use cannabis to treat my anxiety and depression. What this study proves is that cannabis is a great booster for the antiretroviral medicine treatment. And now I can use this research as part of my platform and officially add HIV treatment to the long list of diseases that cannabis helps to treat. As I struggle to find the right balance of holistic medicine and damaging pharmaceuticals, I recognize that now I have to be even more honest with myself and how the medicine affects my body. I will continue to detox every month to make sure I'm cleansing my body of any toxin buildup, but I also will continue my antiretroviral treatment until I can replace it with high concentrations of a cannabis treatment. This study provides proof to what Dr. Uma told me when I first spoke with her about my diagnosis. She told me I need to be treating myself with every form of cannabis I can get, sublingually, suppositories, smoking, vaping, digesting, and juicing are all the ways that I need to use the plant to help fight the virus in my body. Even more proof that the low THC, high CBD oil that is legal in this state is not enough to treat my diagnosis. I need the full spectrum of the plant. I need to be able to grow my own plants and use the plant daily to treat this virus. I will be lobbying to our politicians for a more comprehensive medical marijuana legislation that includes allowing patients to grow their own plants and not forcing them to only use an isolate of the plant that may or may not work to treat their disease. Over 3,000 people in the state every day are faced with how and where they will get their medicine. And those that are fighting to stay alive don't want to hear that they are only legally allowed to use a part of the plant. Give us, the consumer, our God-given rights back to use any plant on this planet for our own personal treatment. It frustrates me to no end to know that I can go to jail for having a plant in my possession that is saving my life. I could care less about the stigma associated with being a user. I will never go back to the corporate America slave plantation. My new job, career, or mission in life is to create an America that knows the truth about cannabis and whether or not you use it, have the human decency to vote for laws that allow me to use it to heal my body. All right, that's enough for cannabis class today. Next episode, we will talk more about the facts in this case study done in Seattle. And hopefully I get to interview one of the lead scientists that conducted the research. Up next is the second half of my interview with Shira Adler. She tells us more about why she decided to write her book, The ABCs of CBD, and how she has dealt with the government trying to take her kids away from her because she uses cannabis to treat them too.
So I appreciate you for being so bold and so brave to go anywhere in front of anybody and talk about this plant, how much you love it. So we appreciate
it. Well, I'll tell you the truth. Thank you for saying that. I think that there are certain things that happen in our lives that push us into a direction that we wouldn't have necessarily been pushed into. But once you realize that you're that far down the rabbit hole, once you have such a personal conviction and a story and something happens to you that you simply can't go back to the way you were. And I am that person too. I find that the reason most of the people that I now meet and connect with, it's because we're not just activists because we're interested in civil justice and righting wrongs that our government has done against anyone. We're in this because we're human beings. Rather, we're spiritual beings having a human experience, and something has happened to us or someone we love in such a profound way that we feel a moral imperative. My kids both got off of Western meds using CBD. I started a whole company because I didn't like what was available, and I didn't like how every time I medicated my kids, they had side effects. They got worse. Mm-hmm. They were over-medicated. They were underserved. Mm-hmm. I mean, to the point that we had really profound problems and trauma and issues from going down the wrong path. And I said, enough. I, as a mom, am not willing to keep making the same mistakes and trusting the wrong, supposedly smart people. I'm not willing to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And the final piece is I personally have been reported to CPS, Child Protective Services. Oh, yeah, 6 times, actually, and the last 2 were for marijuana. And the funny thing is I'm cleared every single time. There is no problem. I've done nothing wrong. I haven't hurt my children or myself. Like, it's ridiculous. But the people who report me are the institutions that are afraid of my voice. They are nervous that me, as a strong and passionate mom and activist, will open my mouth and sue them for their mistakes. And so before I get a chance to use my voice, they, as an institutional group, try to scare me, and they call CPS. And now the joke is, I know every single kind of caseworker in CPS, and I interviewed some of them for the stats that I used in my book. That's how you pay it forward. That's how you take lemons and make the most delicious
infused lemonade, even better. I love it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's how you transmute. Everybody has pain, suffering, and challenge. Change it. Turn it into something beautiful and positive that you can make a difference on behalf of someone else's life. That's what we're here to do.
Awesome. That's so awesome. You also follow very closely what new pharmaceutical drug companies are creating, the synthetic forms of THC and CBD that we mentioned earlier. Swede, you call it. What does this mean for the industry? I mean, how does this play into the industry?
When I look around at the entire industry, on the one hand, I'm trying to help individual families and working. You know, people drop me a note. They have a question. They want to talk. I try to be there on that level. On the bigger level, we have to still watch the entire industry and what's happening. Now, I'm both an author, and I do all of this as an activist, but I'm also an entrepreneur. I have a company. My company is about to be invested in. And in this process, it is my job to know who is doing what. Are they good people? Are they putting out clean product? Are they interested in maintaining the integrity and the authenticity of my products and my brand? Because I and my family, we are my brand. And so when I see big companies and I see a lot of money moving and I see a lot of investors wanting to do this grow and that processing and, you know, they're pushing towards pharma, I'm both joyful and a little cautious and very mindful, because this is not about creating a market, new market industry and revenue. Everyone's like, cannabis is the next .com. Yeah, we know that. It is. It is. Great. Find your place in it. Do not be afraid of competition, because, again, those of us who serve from the purest, most passionate states, we will always rise to the crop. But we have a responsibility to to be here for each other. We have to be here to look out for other female-owned businesses and entrepreneurs. I'm really big on that. Mm-hmm. And so it's not going to be same old, same old. It's not going to be corporate comes in and this money comes in and then they start telling you, well, that makes more money when you'd add a little synthetic or you do a GMO. So we want to be evaluated for billions of dollars. So we're going to do the fake method. We're going to flood the market with a false version of a natural plant cannabinoid structure. And we're going to convince everybody it's the same thing because we can do that because we've got the money. And I say, no, because I'm watching you.
I'm watching you. You talk about that in the book with talking about Philip Morris and Anheuser-Busch and how they're buying acres of land to begin hemp and cannabis production. What are your biggest fears about what they will do to the industry?
Well, on the other hand, though, the flip side of this much money and this much attention coming in is let them use their marketing dollars to educate about the fact that CBD is the bomb, right?
Yes.
That's one good thing.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Their marketing budget, their money is way more than the money I've got in my little company's marketing budget.
Right.
So that only helped me because when they hit the headlines, I can write a blog as a follow-up because I write for my blog. I have a blog called The Edgy Goddess, Get Woke blog, and for all the, that really matters. And that's the beauty of they can say and speak and hit the news, and we can ride in the tailwind of all of that they're doing, and we can make sure to point out when they're doing something wrong. Two, the other benefit that I see from this new emerging, fast-paced, growing, everybody wants to throw money in industry is that if we can also move the political agenda and clear the nonsense, if we can actually get cannabis off Schedule 1 because it has no place being there, as we all know, if we can legalize and decriminalize, we are not leaving people behind to rot in jail sentences that they should never have been sentenced for. If we can give those people jobs, if we can bring them back into the world that they are entitled to just as much as you and I are, then we have an opportunity of protecting the safety and the testing and the purity, at least, of the plants, because forgetting, big industry also requires shifts of safety regulations and testing. And I'm actually really all for that because a lot of companies, especially even on the hemp side, there's mold and all kinds of like garbage that's getting put in with plant matter. There's a lot of misinformation. There are a lot of people who don't understand that both of these plants or whatever property you're taking it, they absorb through the root system everything. And I don't want toxins, pesticides, solvent residues, GMO formulas. I don't want any of that in my kids or my body or brains.
And that requires regulation. Just like they regulate alcohol and tobacco, cannabis should be regulated in the same way. And so I'm all for that. Exactly what everything that you said. So going into back to CBD, Big Pharma and even the National Institute of Health recognize the value in focusing on CBD because of its non-psychoactive effect, unlike THC. So why is this so important for us as consumers to watch? You mentioned it earlier, and you just mentioned it now. What we should be paying attention to in that regard?
When it comes to CBD, I think one of the big conversations that we're starting to see and that I think people should pay attention to, there are benefits, and I have friends on both sides, so I want to be respectful how I say this. There are benefits to doing what's called an ISO, which is an isolate form, taking out just the CBD and focusing on that. And then there's my side of the camp, which I lean a little more towards, which is FSO, full spectrum oil, which has all of the cannabinoid structure and all of the plant structure, including more of the naturally occurring terpenes. See, I come from the aromatherapy side of interest in this field. My original company was an aromatherapy line, and then I infused it with CBD. And I am the first company to do that. There's a reason I did that. The way what you call terpenes in the industry, I call essential oils. And oils have, these terpenes have certain properties to them on a mind, body, spirit level. And that's why aromatherapy is the oldest modality on the planet to affect change, mind, body, spirit simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And that's, we know, think about it like lavender bath salts. You dump them in, they relax you, you're breathing them in, you don't know why, but you chill out. And so even if that's all you know about it, let's say that's a little bit of the magic of terpenes because of that. So when you have a chance to take CBD in a full spectrum oil, you have more of what these naturally occurring terpenes can contain. You have more of what the plant intended to be absorbed. And we as bodies, as physical bodies, we're meant to absorb them in completion. So one of the problems I have with food in general or GMOs is they strip things out, they grow it, and they process it too soon, too early, or they manipulate it. And we're kind of doing that a little bit with hemp and cannabis. When you're talking about extractions of just this or just that, you're separating it from the way the plant designs that material, that information to be absorbed by your body. So I'm a big fan for keep it real, keep it whole, because, for example, we need lipids, we need fats to absorb the nutrients, right? So if you're, sometimes if you're, even with water, people like the whole thing is putting stuff in water, it's water soluble, it's this, it's that, great. Yes and no. It's great in combination with some other nutrients, but you're not absorbing it, depending on your body's deficiency point, or if you're a little dehydrated, people think you drink more water, you drink enhanced water, that it might solve that problem. Not necessarily, because it depends why your system is depleted. And if you find that you drink a lot of water and you never goes, well, I'm peeing a lot, so it's working. I'm like, no, it's actually not working because it's not being absorbed by your tissues. It's running out your body.
It's going right out. So
and people
you're
are like,
going to be dehydrated.
Or they take, yeah, and if you take a vitamin and you think you're getting the best nutrition, but you bought it like, I don't know, just not a great place to get whole food, GMO-free vitamins. Let's say you're buying like some garbage that's actually chemical derivatives of those vitamins. Is that the same as getting the whole food supplement of the vitamin? No, it isn't. And it's why, again, your pee might turn a certain color. It's not staying where it needs to stay. It's not doing what it needs to do.
Wow. Yeah, so I would love for you to dig a little bit deeper into your personal journey and how you got into being the mama of the media wellness edutainment family, as you've been called. yeah, tell us a little bit more about how you came to all of this.
Oh, that is, yeah, we definitely have that. I'm the mama of an edutainment family. So we are a media wellness family and consumer products company, the whole family. We're all in it because we all live it, breathe it, and try it.
Mm-hmm.
So the joke is, my products, we gave it to my dog who had seizures. We gave it to me for my early stuff that was going on. And I was like, oh, hell no, I'm too young to be having all this start going wrong. So every single one of us in our family takes the CBD for a different reason, and it works on each of us in its own way. But my original story came from being, started to say clergy. So I'm a cantor in the Jewish faith tradition. I'm like the rabbi, but I sing, except today because I'm a little hoarse. And I'm also a non-denominational interfaith minister, but I'm also a writer and speaker, and I was always working on blogs and speaking to communities and putting together interfaith ceremonies and healing workshops. So I've been in the public doing that for a very long time. And then from the spiritual quote blogging, which meant that I would take a look at pop culture and life and anything and everything that felt important, and I'd give it a spin that would tie it back into that whole integrated mind, body, spirit place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from that I got picked up from a blog to the Katie Couric show, where I was asked to be on to cover a show that they did about with the Long Island Medium, believe it or not, back in the
Interesting.
Time.
Interesting. Okay.
And it was a show about near-death experiences and all that. I also was and am a certified past life regressionist. And I was then picked up from, we went from Katie Couric show to some other stuff to ending up as the debut episode of Bravo's series called Extreme Guide to Parenting.
Okay.
And that's when everything really changed, because now I'm that mom, that was spiritual soccer mom that was on Bravo, that weird woman who was doing all of this singing bowls and crystals and my aromatherapy line to help my then fourth grade son, who just wasn't fitting in to regular public school, and I was getting a lot of pressure by his teachers to remedicate him.
Remedicate him with what, Ritalin, or what was he diagnosed with?
Yeah, I've been there, done that. I did Ritalin and Adderall and all the usual, off and on for years. I trusted, like I said, a lot of different people who said they knew what they were doing. And I kept putting this stuff in my kids' bodies, and they kept having problems with it. And also, at the same time as that Bravo show and my daughter's healing journey and getting booked on a movie herself, so we really are all professional, like I do voiceover, all this stuff, my mother was also dying. And overlapping with my journey into natural wellness medicine, I watched my own mother struggle and stay on the Western medicine side because she wasn't open. She wasn't open to this, not then. And the most heartbreaking part of this journey is that while I could help my children, I couldn't help my mom. And she passed. 2 weeks after my daughter finished shooting her first movie, she died on my son's 11th birthday. And at 68 years old, to watch the woman you love and you honor and cherish and say, I want to be poetic and beautiful and caring in the world like my mama was. It's hard. It's hard. And see, I get emotional about it still. But it sort of brings into sharp focus the realization that there are those whose journey are meant to open to the what else is there question with curiosity. And with conviction and passion, and we can change the world if we do this. I really believe that. And then there are those whose souls sign up for a different kind of journey. And sometimes it's about knowing your boundaries, knowing when to help and when you can't, and knowing that that catalyst, that loss, became one of the greatest motivating factors in my life because I don't want someone else to lose their mama too young.
Thank you for sharing that story, because there's so many of us that are affected in similar manner with, as women and mothers and wives that are the caregivers for our aging parents, as well as for ourselves and our children and other family members. We are looked at as the person that's supposed to have the answers to the solutions, to everything. But what you're putting out into the atmosphere is beautiful and amazing, and we're so grateful to you for being brave enough to talk about cannabis in its raw, real form. My own personal journey to finding this place started with a diagnosis last March that was chronic kidney disease as well as HIV, and I decided to fight my disease, my virus, naturally, by being plant-based, as well as using cannabis and CBD to help heal my kidneys. And I'm currently looking for a natural, holistic herb or plant out there in the world that can help fight the virus and replace my antiretrovirals, which is what I'm taking now. Which is the medicine that helps my body or helps me from getting AIDS. And so I am on a mission to try to find what that solution is. I mean, obviously in states where it's legal, they are doing research studies with HIV and cannabis. And so because I live in Georgia, I can't exactly participate in those type of studies. I can do my own, which is why I'm very blessed and grateful to have access to full spectrum oil, and that's what I use right now. And there's so many people that don't even know about what that is, and so thank you for talking about that, because it has tremendous effect on so many different diseases. I've got a friend that is actually a stage 4 colon cancer. It spread to her liver, and I explained to her she doesn't need to be smoking cannabis. She needs the full spectrum oil, so I was able to get that for her. Thank you again for sharing your personal story with us, because I know that there are so many of us out there that have their own personal story and they don't even know how to begin to research it and expand on it. What other important facts do you want to tell us about CBD or whole plant treatment that you feel is necessary information for our listeners?
Yes, I think everybody remembers this one thing, please know that what we're talking about today in this moment is a yes and conversation. And what I mean by that is whatever your belief system, your background, your experience, whatever side of this can of curious journey you're coming from, even a baby step to empower and educate yourself is the right step, that you can still be on your medicine, and we're not being judgmental about what any other person feels they need to do on behalf of themselves or those they love. But to invite you to join this conversation means we hear you. Yes, what you're doing is good. Yes, and here's some more information. Here's an option. Here's something that could change your life. Mm-hmm. Here's an invitation to join us. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. Know your rights. Educate yourself. And be kind of curious. Read my book. It's a great place to start.
Yeah. So how can, CBD. How can we get your book? Please tell us.
Oh, it's on Amazon. You can visit my website, which is shiraadler.com, S-H-I-R-A-A-D-L-E-R. And I'm on social at the one Shira Adler, T-H-E and the number one, because there's another woman with my name. So I'm the one Shira Adler.
The one.
And she is the one.
Yes.
And the book is on Amazon and Kindle and paperback. We have an audiobook coming soon. The ABCs of CBD, which teaches, it says right across the top of the book, why pot is not what we were taught.
Right. Oh, thank you so much, Shira, for all of this vital information and sharing your story with us and explaining to us more about CBD. I'm so thrilled to have you on the show. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Nicole. It's an honor, God. If anything I can do, you call me.
Thanks again, Shira, for coming on the Cannabis Connection World Podcast. You truly are an inspiration, goddess, and I am so thankful to be able to include you in my cannabis family network. From one woman in cannabis to another, thank you for trusting in your faith and helping to lead the next generation of young women into this male-dominated industry.
Cannabis Connection Calendar, informing you where and how to connect with other cannabis enthusiasts like you.
All right, so welcome back to the Cannabis Connection Calendar. This is the segment where I share with you some of the events that are happening within the state of Georgia concerning the cannabis industry. Whether directly or indirectly, the events I discuss have an effect on Georgia's cannabis community. Please note that all events are normally free and open to everyone unless I otherwise specify. First up, this Monday, 19th, Georgia's Hope will host their lobby day at the Georgia State Capitol building downtown. Georgia's Hope is an advocacy group that was instrumental in helping to get Haley's Hope Act passed in 2015. They have been an amazing source of information and support for patients and their families across the state that use cannabis medicinally. You can get more information on their website at www.georgiashope.com. That's Georgia with an S at the end. So that's www.georgiashope.com. Lobby day begins at 10 a.m. on Monday. This event is free and open to the public. Next up is the monthly Minorities for Medical Marijuana meeting beginning at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, March 27th. We will meet at Mango's Restaurant located at 180 Auburn Avenue in downtown Atlanta. Please visit our website to learn more about how to become a member. www.m4mmunited.org. That is www.m4mmunited.org. Your membership in our organization has numerous benefits, but to me, the most valuable benefit is having access to our chapters all over the country. Our mission is to educate and elevate our community in this global cannabis industry. This event is free and open to the public. Next up, on Thursday, March 29th, beginning at 7 p.m. at Bar 142, located at 142 Mitchell Street, downtown Atlanta, myself, along with several other partners, will host Taking Action to Legalize Cannabis, a networking event that will teach you about the law in Georgia and some of the ancillary businesses that have already established themselves in the state. Please visit www.meetup.com/Indativa-Atlanta. Okay, so that website one more time is www.meetup.com/Indativa, and that's spelled INDATIVA-Atlanta for more information and to RSVP for this event. This event is also free and open to the public. On Friday, March 30th, join me for Cocktails and Conversations, an HIV AIDS awareness party. This will be my first time speaking at an HIV event since my diagnosis last March. The event will be hosted at the Philip Rush Center located at 1530 DeKalb Avenue in Atlanta. Beginning at 7 p.m., we will celebrate the life of HIV advocate Marva Miller. This is a ticketed event, so to purchase your tickets, please visit Eventbrite and search for the Glow Party ATL. On Monday, April 2nd, I will be one of the panelists at the Black Law Students Association, Georgia State College of Law's Marijuana Legalization Forum. This event will be located on the school's campus beginning at 5 p.m. For more information on this event, please contact me directly at info@cannabisconnectionworld.com. This is a free event and open to the public. So for the next 30 days or so, I will be filming for a documentary that will be featured on the Atlanta Voices new online platform. So any events that I mentioned, that I have mentioned, if you plan on attending, please come. Lights, camera, and action ready. AtlantaVoice.com is partnering with Cannabis Connection World to help expose the status of the cannabis industry in the state of Georgia and how people of color are being affected. If you would like to be involved in the production of this show, please email me at info@cannabisconnectionworld.com. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Cannabis Connection World. In the next episode, we will learn more about this new HIV and cannabis treatment study and hopefully speak with the doctor that led the research. We will also discuss more events that will be happening in the state as we gear up to celebrate 420. New episode every Sunday at Podomatic.com and Stitcher Podcast. You don't want to miss it.